Bill Hernandez is an amazing man who I've known for, 20-ish years. We've been to a lot of, we've seen a lot of the Lord together through the years. We've been to a lot of amazing Holy Spirit shindigs along the way. And we were just so blessed along the way that Bill became part of this family long ago and has been our overseer for the prophetic ministry, or the director of our prophetic teams, part of our overseers, part of our what we call our Blazing Fire staff. And Bill, I appreciate you a ton. I love your heart. He has this amazing website called whisperoflove.org, and he puts words out maybe every couple weeks. Whisperoflove.org. I would really encourage you to go there. Would you please honor with me Bill Hernandez?
Speaking of Mother's Day, is coming up next weekend, isn't it? That's right, right? Yeah. And so I was reading Dear Abby, and somebody asked a mother, what would you like for Mother's Day? And she said, I would prefer a kiss, because that way I don't have to dust it. So And there was another one in there as well from Dear Abby, which has to do with tonight's talk. I'm going to be sharing on the benefits of full disclosure. And so there was another one in Dear Abby, and someone was asked, the ladies, what would they prefer? Would they prefer a dozen roses once a year? And someone said, I would prefer one rose every single day of the year rather than once a year, a dozen roses. And I feel like that's the Lord with us, that He wants us to put in time in the relationship every single day, that it's not going to be once a week. We go on Saturday and knock ourselves out with Todd's worship. Woohoo, right? Get some prayer, go home, and that's it, with the Lord. But the Lord is calling upon us to have an everyday relationship with Him, because that really touches His heart. It's a way of life, rather than just, we don't just check in once a week, or once a month, or for some of you, you only come once a month, Anyway, so. Just clearing my throat, anyway. So I just want to read this, read this psalm. It's not going to be projected, but I just wanted to read it just to kind of lay this foundation for the Lord's relationship with us. It's from Psalm 103, 8 through 14. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And so I just wanted to lay that down because what I'm going to be talking about is this compassion and this graciousness that he has for us. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And we've been talking about that. We've been laying this foundation again and again and again, and just kind of hammering it in. And I feel like it's really, really important because, you know, it's like, it's taken me many, many years to really grasp how deep God's love is for me and what that looks like and what it means and how, you know, how it has changed my life and how I have benefited. But it's taken years and years of hearing the message again and again and again and again and again and again and again, you know. Perhaps maybe it's the hardness of my heart. Perhaps it's the enemy is blocking it. Perhaps there's, you know, just I don't believe it. Or, you know, I feel like the Lord is showing me is many of us have been traumatized in our lives to one degree or another. That can put up road barriers and blocks and everything to understanding and apprehending or comprehending the depth of his love. So we have to hear it over and over again. So the scripture that I really connect with for this engage thing, and I hope that you guys do make it to next weekend on Saturday. It's going to be really powerful, and I expect it to be wonderful. I may or may not have fried chicken. I may or may not have free chocolate there. I may or may not bring ice cream, but I do know that I'm going to be presenting something. So there you have it. Anyway, that's a marketing ploy. Anyway, so, but you never know. Anyway, so this is from 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message that we had heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. And so when I look at this scripture, this thing about walking in the light with the Lord is about being fully disclosing with him and being completely honest with him and in bringing every single thing to him on a regular basis and bring it into conversation every minute of the day, even if you have to do it every minute of the day. And I often do. There are things that are unresolved that I keep bringing up to the Lord over and over again, but I'm bringing it into conversation and bringing it into the light. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. And I used to think, I said, oh, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. In other words, I have to be honest with you, or I need to confess my stuff to you, and then that way we have fellowship together. I always used to think of it that way, and I used to think, no way am I going to share a darn thing about what's going on in my life with you, you know? No way. I said, you're not going to follow up on it anyway tomorrow after I've opened it up. So no way. And I doubt seriously that you have any solutions for what I'm dealing with that I've been carrying for 35 years. But I feel like the Lord is saying, he's here. I feel like that this fellowship with one another is me having fellowship with him. I have fellowship with the Lord. I have fellowship one another with him, walking in the light and opening it up with him. And this is what he's calling us to. And it goes on to say, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. But I kind of read that as, oh, and by the way, you have already been forgiven. You are justified and you are sanctified. Do you understand? So it doesn't mean that, oh my gosh, you know, if I'm not open and disclosing to him, then I'm not going to be purified for my sins. I says, that's not what it, I don't think that's what it says at all. It's just an, oh, by the way, you are sanctified and justified. In 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. I read this scripture the other day about, I can't remember where it was, but it talked about sinners don't want to come to the light because they're afraid that their sins will be exposed. And I remember reading that, I said, I said, you know, I have been struggling with a lot of fear in being fully disclosing to the Lord about every single little thing in my life, whatever it is. So there's a struggle of fear that we have in coming before the Lord. It's just kind of, it's there. It's just there. And I'm hoping at the end of my talk that we can, I'm going to pray against that fear, the fear of just coming before the Lord and before the light. It says that the light swallows up darkness. So we bring all the stuff that's in the dark in our lives and we bring it to him and it becomes transformed. In my website, whisperoflove.org, I would like for you to go there because there's some words there that you can read. I'm just going to read some excerpts from some of the things here. One of them is called Full Disclosure, and this was a word that I published back in January, and there's also like an audio as well of the message, but I'm just going to read a little bit here. I believe the Lord is urging us on to go deeper and more honestly with him in all we are thinking, feeling, and doing. So this is like a prophetic sense that I have. I feel like this is the Lord is urging us to do this. And as we encounter more of his love, he's building a greater confidence in bringing everything to him without fear of retaliation. By admitting everything to him, we get insight and understanding from him if we also stop to listen after opening ourselves to him. If we are in full disclosure before him, we can then begin deeper work. He showed me that we can begin deeper work. So I noticed, so this is just kind of a summary. I go into much deeper what all this means. But there's just something here about, I thought that I was being honest, you know, throughout the years, being open and honest with the Lord about various things. But I began to realize that there were some things that I just wasn't willing to admit. I think one time I think in one of my messages, I confessed and I was just said, you know, I was talking to the Lord and I just was very real and honest with him. And I said, you know what, Lord, I don't think I've had a single moment of joy in my life. Not really. Nothing that's really lasting. And I don't have any joy now, you know. And so I kind of felt like, oh my gosh, I'm being like this negative confessing Christian, you know. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy, you know what I mean? So I wasn't happy. I wasn't clapping my hands. And I just told him this thing, and he did not incinerate me on the spot. Yay. And I shared that. But what's really interesting is that when you're honest with the Lord, he gives surprising answers. And so he just basically, he was telling me I was at the ocean. He didn't say anything about the joy thing, but he just said, everything that you see around here, the ocean, the clouds, the birds, the cliffs, the sand, the wind, and it was just quiet and so peaceful, the whole universe. And he said, all of this is my hand, and I'm holding you in my hand. This is an extension of my hand and my love to you, and I'm holding you. And and I hear what you're saying. And so I go, wow, this is like amazing. I didn't expect that answer. But the thing is that I've been learning to be honest with him and just saying, thank you so much for this. This feels wonderful. We'll see how long it lasts. And so I don't know that I feel any more joyful right now, Lord, but I do feel peaceful. And I do appreciate that. That's what I mean by honesty. You know, just bald-faced honesty with the Lord, just down to brass tacks. I says, we'll see what's going on. And then after that, I started experiencing joyful things. Things that brought joy to me that were very, very personal and meaningful to me. And it was not like I was hopping and skipping and giggling afterwards, but it was more a feeling of contentment and well-being, which I call joy. So I feel like he's calling us here. He's saying to bring into regular discussion everything, however broken, however strange, however obsessive, however anxious, inaccurate, opinionated, no matter how dark it is, no matter how twisted it is. And we have twisted things in our lives. I've brought a lot of twisted things before the Lord. And, you know, it's kind of like he unravels it all rather than condemns. Like that scripture I said, you know, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And he's mindful that I was just here. I am this vulnerable person. I'm not God, you know, and so I'm not all powerful. And he realizes I'm but dust, and here I am. I'm just being open with him, and he's not incinerating me when I open up every single little thing, even every little twisted thing. And we all have, many of us have our own secret twisted thing, and you know what I'm talking about. And that's the thing that he wants to talk about. And sometimes we might have some things that are dark that just linger and linger and linger and just go on and on and on, and we talk to the Lord again and again and again. And the Lord is saying, good, I want you to continue to talk about it again and again and again, because I never tire. I never get tired of it. It doesn't wear me out. I have, you know, shared with friends in the past, you know, and would share something, you know, I'm dealing with this thing. And then after a while, I could tell that they're just getting sick and tired of hearing it. But the thing is that the reason why I'm sharing it is because I need a sounding board. I just need someone just to receive me. And I know that if I can get out from under all the confusion, if you can help me just to regurgitate this and be that person upon which I regurgitate, of course, that I know I'm going to find a solution somewhere underneath. I'm going to find the answers underneath. That is kind of a counseling thing. That's something that you learn in counseling, is that people have the answer inside. They just need need space. You need to hear them and just let them open it up, and they'll find the answers inside. But I've run into situations where, with friends, there's a limitation that they get disgusted after a while and they avoid you or whatever, which is heartbreaking. And I would have loved for my friends to be more loving and kind and present. But the Lord has shown me, he says, you know what? The only person that can really hear you perfectly is me. And I never get disgusted and I never feel embarrassed by what you have to share. That twisted thing is not embarrassing to me. Everything is important to me, what you have to share. And I feel like he was telling me that it was a treasure. And I remember I shared that with Candy. And by the way, there's Candy is sitting right there. And I shared that with Candy about this whole thing about just that it was a treasure to the Lord, every single thing, every twisted thing, every obsessive thing, every weird thing that I share with the Lord, that it was a treasure. And she said right away, she said, that's intimacy. That's intimacy. From a woman's perspective here, you know, I go, wow, yeah, that's what it is. That's intimacy. And I was just sharing here with Cindy earlier. I said, you know what, it's not so much, you know, the content of what I'm sharing is not so much the issue here that's important as much as me trusting the Lord and me touching him and allowing him to touch me in that moment. That intimacy is what's important. And it just really is such an awesome thing to him when we do this and that we're willing to open it all up. Nothing can separate us from his love. This is from Romans 8. I think it's gonna be projected. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors to him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's, when I think of here, nor anything else in all creation, and I happen to be part of that creation, not even my guilt and my self-pity, not even my stubbornness and my resistance, and not even my dishonesty or anything like that is going to separate me from the love of God. Right? I mentioned the word resistance. You know, sometimes I will tell the Lord, I might be resistant. He said, you know, the Lord might show me this person here. He won't tell me that, but I know in my heart, he says, I need to be more loving to this person, more generous in my heart and my reaction to this person. And I know I need to be loving, Lord, but I says, but I want you to know that I don't want to be. Because this person did me bad. And I don't know that I can love them, and I don't want to. Right now, I can't even access my emotions or even know what's going on. All I know is that I just don't feel very good right now. Will you please hold me? I just need to be held right now in the midst of this, Lord. And he does. That's how patient the Lord is. So he's able to work even with our resistance. You know, resistance sometimes, you know, I guess in counseling, resistance is kind of a language. It's like saying, I'm not ready to deal with it just yet. Eventually, sometimes I also discovered that I might become, okay, I'm working through my resistance, or I forgive this person, I forgive. I bless them, and may they be blessed far away from me. But at least it's a start, Lord. I think, all right, I will tolerate them. I will tolerate, but it's better than me just being fully rejecting of them. I'm tolerating them. Okay, it's progress. And the Lord just still loves me. And he's totally understands our process. He's right with us in the midst of our process. He's right there working with us. And it's important to stay engaged. I call it being proactive. Just continue to be engaged with Dr. God. I call him Dr. God. He's a 24/7 psychiatrist. He's on call 24/7. And it's kind of like, you know, I've been through times where I say, I would just love this perfect friend that would totally perfectly understand me. And the Lord would, he always would interrupt me when I would say that. And he would just say, so what am I, chopped liver? He'll say, here I am. He would say, here I am. Here I am. And he knows every single part of us. His therapy for us is perfectly tailored to each of us, because we're each of us is totally unique with our own stuff, and he knows exactly where the buttons are. He knows exactly where they are. It reminds me of this Far Side cartoon, and there's these two robots, a male robot and a female robot, with a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist is sitting there and says, it seems to me like you're both perfectly adept at pushing each other's buttons. I digress. Okay. This is going to be a lot of digressions. Anyway. But he knows us. He knows exactly what we need, everything about us. He's the God of empathy and understanding. He feels it with us. And some of the stuff that I'm sharing with you, you can read that in the website. And you never know what the answer is going to be, what his answer is going to be, but it will always be loving, kind, edifying, and comforting. One time I just felt, I can't remember what it was, what issue it was. There's always a lot of issues. It was something that I needed to deal with. I said, I know I need to deal with this, Lord, and I know what you're going to say. And he goes, no, you don't. You don't know what I'm going to say. I'm not like you. And I was thinking, you know what? I was thinking back, and I said, you know what? The Lord is not like us, or he's not like me. I am, you know, condemning, you know, self-piteous, self-hatred, you know, all these kinds of things, or whatever. I can be those kinds of things. I can be mean to myself, very judgmental, highly judgmental. But the Lord is not like that at all. And the answers that he gives us is amazing. It's going to be, it will always be loving, kind, edifying, and comforting. I've discovered that every single time, no matter what it was, even if I was resistant. Lord, I hate that person. I remember I said that to the Lord once, and I was not incinerated on the spot. I was not cast into perdition. I did not commit them unpardonable sin by saying that. And he said, no, you don't. You don't hate that person. And you know what he said? He said, you don't hate that person. He said, you love that person, but they hurt you. And the hatred that you're feeling, or the violence or anger that you're feeling inside, is your way of distancing yourself from the pain that's there. But you don't hate them. I go, oh, okay. I'm not going to forgive them just yet, though. And he would just say, I understand, you know. That's why I said this, he's the God of empathy and understanding. He showed me that the more that we let him in, the more we come before the all-seeing eyes of the Lord that governs all we do. And it's really, really clear to me that the more I'm opening up to him, the more I feel exposed. He says, once we do honest with him, we can't go back to hiding and remain forever exposed and aware of the all-seeing eyes of the Lord. So I'm aware now. So the more I'm just daily practicing, just processing anything and everything, sharing everything, even no matter how ridiculous it is, I'm just a chatterbox with the Lord all day, you know, a lot of different things, you know. And as a result, I begin to realize that I can feel he's here all the time. He's right here. He's observing. He's observing me. That's what I've discovered, that I become sensitive to the fact that he's around. And that sometimes I'm aware that I'm not paying attention to him. You know, I said, oh, hello. Good morning. How are you doing? But anyway, I do feel that way. I don't feel afraid at all. And one of the things with that, I begin to realize, it's almost kind of like, you know, I'm bringing this stuff before him all the time. It says, my sins are ever before him, and I'm not afraid. My stuff is ever before him, and I'm willingly bringing it before him and opening it up to him, and I'm not afraid. And I was just thinking, and I just feel his love and his patience, right? So I was thinking, oh, this does not bode well. This sense of amazing peace, you know, and realizing that there's total love and acceptance, even though he's seen everything. Because I said, Lord, are you going to kill me? Because this is amazing. I said, because I've heard so many stories of when they go and they come back, that when they come before the Lord, they're just before the presence of just this amazing love. You hear these stories again and again and again, that he's just pure love. And I'm just thinking, I think this is what it's going to be like when I come before you, is I'm just going to feel nothing but love. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to be thinking about my stuff at all. So I was thinking, that's why I was thinking, I said, are you going to kill me? Are we going home? He says, no, you're not going home. He says, I'm just revealing this stuff to you so that you can share it to other people to encourage them. I said, oh, okay. Are you sure? I said, okay, so. So the Lord is ever listening to us. All the time, every single thing, he wants to hear us. And I just recently published a word on curiosity and love. So I'm going to read this excerpt. Our friend listens and asks questions. Questions lead to more disclosure, and disclosure leads to him disclosing his loving perspective and wisdom. This leads to peace and change, also known as repentance. So the thing with the curiosity thing is that I began to hear him many years ago. I was out in the backyard and having my devotion time in the morning, my 15-minute devotion, my dozen roses to the Lord for the day. And so, and I'm just there, oh, Lord, I just worship you. I bless you. I praise you. You're so awesome. Oh, God, you are, you know, whatever. I open up the scripture, and I'm going to read the scripture here. Oh, Lord, oh, hallelujah, going through my little ritual. And then he said, what's going on? I'm just kind of going, I feel like crap. He goes, oh, okay, all right, let's talk about it. All right, so it's. But he asked me, he says, what's going on? So that's what he asked me so many times. Ever since then, he's always, you know, like, let's say I'd wake up in the morning, he might say, how are you feeling today? How's it going? I hear him ask me that question, and I'm just thinking, well, if he's the all-knowing God, you know, he knows. I said, why are you asking? I said, this is lots of moot question, dude. I said, you know everything. But it's kind of like what I learned was, I said, you know, he wanted me to volunteer to share what I wanted to share. That's how much he respects us. And so I just feel so honored when he's asking me, he's, how are you doing? And maybe I might just say, I don't want to talk about anything right now. Will you just hold me? That's what I need. I just need that right now. I ask the Lord to hold me a lot. I do a lot of that. So, and he does. And I feel a peace come over me. I do. I'm going to talk about that peace at the end of this part here. So, consequences to to full openness with him. There's consequences about opening these things up to him. And what happens is what you're really doing is you're becoming a disciple. You're entering into your discipleshipness. Is that a word? But anyway. We're stepping into teachableness, because when we're opening to him and then he's responding, he's teaching us his way and his perspective. And we're learning stuff. So it's really interesting. I said, so when I walk, in my honesty, what's happening is I'm being honest, but I'm also, there's kind of like this ricochet effect. Honest, and I learn something. I'm more honest, and I learn something else. And I'm more honest, and I'm equipped this other thing. And I'm more honest, and wow, I feel more peaceful. And so on and on, over and over and over, and that's what happens. So the consequences to fullness and to full openness with him is character growth. That's another word that I wrote. I talk about the spectacle of character, about how amazing it is to the angels in heaven that they break into song as we grow in character. And it's a spectacular thing to them, to when they see maturity and we grow and we become more amazing, take a hold of our amazingness and our responsibleness and all that kind of stuff. So that's, I wrote that in Whisper of Love. And so I found this, believe it or not, I really did do this. I asked ChatGPT, so I've become addicted to ChatGPT. I know some people think, oh my God, it's 1984. Run. But, or I don't know if I got it there, but anyway, so I looked at what does character mean? And so I'm going to read to you. Mature character is often associated with qualities such as honesty, integrity, compassion, empathy, self-discipline, and self-control. It is demonstrated by consistent behavior that aligns with these values and beliefs, even in the face of adversity or temptation. A person with mature character is able to make responsible decisions and take ownership of their actions, even when faced with difficult situations. They are able to empathize with others, maintain healthy relationships, and be accountable for their mistakes. Overall, developing mature character is an important part of becoming a well-rounded, responsible adult. And I just, and so this totally resonated with me because it's so down to earth. And these are the things that I'm learning as I open up to the Lord, all of these different kinds of things. I found that another consequence of openness to him is I've discovered my spiritual armor. I didn't realize, I felt like the Lord was showing me that the spiritual armor that it talks about in Ephesians 6, or at least from my perspective, is his love. I open up to him. I'm honest with him. He reveals his love and his kindness and acceptance and protection and, you know, devotion. And that is my spiritual armor. So I wrote about this. In place of our openness with him, his kind presence becomes our spiritual armor, part of the armor, the sword of truth in our hands is love. It's his love demonstrated to us that we might demonstrate it to others to help set the captive free from the lies of not being greatly loved by him. His listening to us turns us into ambassadors for Christ. His receiving us in our full disclosure to him becomes the training ground to be his emissaries to the world. We love because he first loved us. Being more open to him, I've discovered that his love becomes more clear. I'm beginning to understand it more clearly. That it really is, he really is a friend. That is, it's a friendship love, a deep friendship love, a best friendship love, a BFF love, like no other, and amazing. So I'm beginning to understand this. So I want you to know something as I'm reading this stuff and whatever. I says, I have not, certainly not arrived at anything at all, but things are beginning to open up. It's kind of like the clouds are beginning to part and rays of sunshine are beginning to shine through, and I'm getting glimpses of it. And then tomorrow when I'm raging and, you know, there's a huge eclipse, and then I don't see that light anymore. But then I asked the Lord, I said, you know what, Lord, I'm in a rageaholic today. Can you hold me? But anyway, we are equipped with love because we experience it firsthand of what it feels like. Like it says in 1 John 4:9, we love because he first loved us. We develop empathy and understanding because we are shown these things. This is what happens when you're opening every single thing to him, every little teeny tiny thing. I think that there's something about the quality of honesty that we bring to him. I says, we can bring stuff to him all the time. Oh Lord, I know I need to not have so much, you know, road rage, and I confess that, you know. And I know that I just, you know, need to be more. I should have helped that little old lady across the street, and I confess that to you. And fine, you know, but it's like he wants the meat. It's like he says, I want you to show me the dirt that you're carrying around. Let's talk about that stuff. The real stuff. And it's right there. It's kind of like that's almost, I don't know, in a way I've discovered for me personally here, I feel like this seems to be the gateway to an incredible amount of revelation of his light and his glory. His glorious love. The depth of his compassion and empathy and friendship. It's just by opening that all the little secrets and talking to him about them again and again and again and again, however long they last, to discuss it with him over and over and work it and work it and work it. And says, Lord, and he's saying, let's keep on going. I love you. I forgive you. I understand. We're working on it. All right, let's keep working on it. Let's keep working on it. Let's keep working on it. I don't like this person. I don't like this person. I don't like this person. I don't like this person, Lord. I don't. He says, I know you don't. I hear you. I'm right here with you. I'm holding you. I understand what's going on. We're working on it. It's really deep. You were wounded deeply. That's why it's hard to let go of it, to stop obsessing about it. We develop listening skills. The Lord listens to us, and we develop listening skills. He's listening to me. Now I can listen to other people. And I realize that while he's listening to me, I'm able to tell him more of my story. And so I'm learning how to listen to other people and let them tell me their story. So what that does is it makes me a healer. We become less of a know-it-all and more of a listener. And we become curious as opposed to presumptive. We explore. We only know in part. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about that, you know. In so many words, it says you can have all the supernatural knowledge you want and all the natural knowledge you want. If you think you have it all, you don't. You only know in part. And you only prophesy in part. So pretty much, don't say anything. Just listen. I was going to say, shut up, listen. We become less rigid in our opinions and open to learning and hearing others' points of view and receiving others who have opposite points of view. In other words, we become community builders. We have unity. More unity as a result. All of this is kind of like, it's coming from that love. It's coming from humbling ourselves before the Lord, if you want to call it humbling yourself before the Lord. And he's just kind of like starts showing his own nature, and his nature becomes our nature. We become diplomatic. We become approachable. This will make you less insufferable. And our words are seasoned with grace, as it says. I'm going to read this in Colossians 4:6. It says in Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Thinking of that scripture, I think it's in Romans. And it says, you know, if at all possible, be at peace with all men. So it makes you more and more and more peaceful. And more with more and more people, you become more broadly accepting of others. And you have genuine love and friendship with others rather than perfunctory acceptance. I love you with the love of Jesus. I don't know about me personally, you know, but I love you with the love of Jesus. That's what I mean by perfunctory, you know what I mean? But it becomes genuine because you really, you've been touched. He touches you. You're touched. And now you see people more clearly. And so you have, you start developing this genuine compassion and understanding. And then friendship as well. You're less reactive. In James 1, it says, to be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger. This is talks about patience. It's like, wow, I can see the patience of the Lord in me being able to be totally and completely honest with him over every little thing, and I understand he really is totally patient. And so there's something about that that sticks to me. His patience gets stuck onto me and becomes a part of me more and more and more. And I get to reflect it. I discovered also illumination of scriptures. So this is something that I discovered as I've been opening up more, and he's been giving me his perspective and everything, that somehow, I don't know, I don't want to use, well, I'm just going to use magically. It just seems to me that scripture is becoming clearer. I'm beginning to see it from a different perspective altogether. And I'm able to read between the lines, right? I'm reading the white spaces between the scriptures, that there's more behind scripture because I see more clearly. I see with his eyes. It's just really interesting. I never expected that. So I'm experiencing a renewal or renaissance in my reading of scripture as a result of this. And it's going to happen to each of you. And I have discernment. When I say discernment, I've discovered, I don't know, it's almost like I feel like I have a light bulb behind my eyes, so that when I'm looking at people, there's this light that's shining that I can see more deeply into people's hearts. I discern them more clearly because my darkness is out of the way. My eye is clear, and so I see more clearly. It's kind of like the Lord is removing my blindness, and this is what he does. He removes our blindness of spirit and heart. And then there's like self-respect, and the self-respect comes from realizing I am loved, and if you don't like me, that's okay. Because I love myself, you know. And I'm also going to speak up because I have self-respect. If I need to share something, you know, if I object to something or another, I'm going to share it. I'm going to be more honest. That comes from being self-respecting. You know, people who have been abused, seriously abused and traumatized, they lose their self-respect. So they just go through life just being like this, a people pleaser, and not really being honest and hiding behind a mask. But it's because their self-respect has been ripped away from them. And the Lord says, I want you to bring it to me. Bring all the rage, all the anger, all the pain, all the suffering, whatever. Let's talk about it over and over. And the Lord just injects love and well-being and self-respect. And you get a voice. You get a voice as a result. Imagine that. If I open up more and more to the Lord, I get a voice. I get a louder voice. And I feel more self-confident. So I feel more self-confident. One of the things that, in closing here, is I also noticed... It's just been kind of like an indescribable feeling. It's hard to describe what it is. But as I've been opening up to the Lord, I feel like something's been happening to my spirit or my soul. I feel buoyant or something. I feel like I'm floating or something. I feel like I'm on a cloud, like I'm being lifted up. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm, you know, skipping and giggling and hopping in every single day and every minute of the day. But there's something behind me, inside of me, where I'm feeling the warm fuzzies. My sister-in-law gave me this throw for Christmas. It was one of those throws, you know, where it goes from my head and covers my feet where I don't have to, like, you know, curl up to so that, you know, or you have to put it in an angle so look, you know what I'm talking about? Those stupid short throws. I don't know who invented those things. I think they did it to save material, you know, but it was, it's like fuzzy and just really kind of fluffy, and it's warm and it's cozy, and it just feels really, really good. And I feel like that's what I'm feeling. I'm just feeling in the spirit this coziness, and I begin to realize, you know what? The Lord is cozy. It's almost kind of like he's wrapped in robes of this throw, and then he's throwing his arms around me. And I'm just like snuggled up into this warmth, and I'm feeling it inside, and it feels really good. So I feel like more, I feel more peaceful. These things that I mentioned, I said I'm less reactive. There might be something that might trigger me. Normally it would trigger me, and then I'm triggered for hours and hours and hours or days and days. Now I might be triggered maybe for a minute or two or a few minutes or 10 minutes or an hour, and then it's gone. So I'm recovering. I'm snapping back more quickly, which is really kind of cool. So this warm, fuzzy thing, I don't know. There's a lot that the Lord is doing subconsciously. I feel it's an anointing. It's like an oil, the oil of the Spirit of the Lord that is penetrating deep inside of me. And he's going to be doing that to you as well. I like to give that illustration about it. If you get a drop of oil and put it on a piece of paper, and then just leave it there on your counter, come back the next day, and there'll be a huge spot because it will have spread. And that's what this does. This is what's happening. You open up to the Lord. He injects his love. His presence is there more in a greater way. And before you know it, you're finding yourself completely soaked in his love, in this liquid love that's cozy. So I want to read Philippians 4. So I'm going to read Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. So he's putting gentleness in me. He's putting gentleness in us. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. He's near. He's not far away from us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. As a matter of fact, you can continue to nag him and nag him and nag him and nag him and nag him, and he won't get upset about it. He'll still receive you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I was thinking, I said, okay, so I need to like think about the good things. I need to think about, you know, things that are true, things that are noble and right and pure. And I said, oh, forget it. I said, I can't do that. I said, but what the Lord does is he puts those things inside of me. He's putting these noble thoughts. He's putting the truth in me. He's putting what's right in me and what's pure and what's lovely. He's imparting this. This is an impartation from him to us in our relationship with him. It says right here, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of coziness will be with you. So this part here, it says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me. So I'm going to own this. I am going to own this. as does the rest of the staff here at Blazing Fire, whatever you have learned or received or heard from us or seen from us, put it into practice. That's basically why we're sharing this stuff, is for you to put it into practice. Why? And the God of peace will be with you. You're going to be the God of coziness is going to surround you. And you're going to find yourself apprehended by the Holy Spirit and lifted up to a whole new place. And I don't know, I just feel like this thing about this disclosure of not shallow disclosure, but deep disclosure is revolutionary. I've discovered that. And it's a treasure. It is a pearl. It's just, and it's amazing. So anyway, so I'm going to pray for you all right now. So assume the position. I ask Holy Spirit that you would come right now to each person. And I ask, Lord, that whatever is causing any fear of divulging deeper and processing with you deeper over every little thing, I ask, Lord, that you would take this fear right now. I just break the power of this fear. I ask, Lord, that you would go through and find the roots of that fear and unroot it. Come, Holy Spirit, by your power, Holy Spirit, dismantle the fear so that your children will not be afraid to commune with you, with everything, every little thing, on a regular basis. I ask, Lord, that you just take away that fear right now. I also ask, Lord, that you would impart, as it were, a kind of a discipline, as it were, or a kind of a habit, being habitual in opening everything and talking with you, Dad. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just hearing about, like, the mother heart of God. It's like, moms know everything, and moms care about everything, and the mother heart of God cares about everything and knows everything. And we'll never forget you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so concludes my talk. There you go.
That was awesome. I just have to say for the record, you mentioned Rageaholic several times. I've never seen even a little bit of that in you, Bill. So I'm being a Rageaholic. I have not. I've known you for a long time. So anyway. I truly love you, Bill, and thank you for being so real and open. Thank you, thank you.